Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.
You're listening to Mix and Match with Mumby on Lionheart 107.3 FM. And we've been joined in the studio by my guest for this afternoon, Mr. Michael Pearson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Daniel.
How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. Michael is going to be sticking around for at least the next 20 minutes because we have many questions to put to him. Thanks for being on the programme at such short notice.
I know, it's all right.
I'm afraid anyone who was listening in for James Mathewson, he gave us a phone call about half an hour ago saying that he was unavailable at the last minute. So we won't be talking to James Mathewson, but we'll be talking about him, because we're going to be focusing in this, if you want to call it an interview, on your dramatic ventures, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
First of all, I owe you a sort of apology.
Do you?
I saw you reading the Gazette on the table in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
And last week in the Gazette, there was a letter from someone who, I don't know if you caught this out, who... I did a review of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone wrote in a letter saying, why haven't you praised Michael Pearson's performance? And I'd just like to say, for the record, it wasn't because I hated it. I thought you were very good. There's only so much information
exactly.
I can put in the review. So.
Yeah.
You must have enjoyed being in that, though.
Yeah, that's the best show I've done. I just think it's Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, before, when in about September, when Mr. Scott, who's head of music at Anik, he said to us, would you like to come and... no, sorry, he didn't say to us, would you like to? He says, we're going to do Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, you haven't got a choice in
this. He says, I'm thinking about doing Jesus Christ Superstar. And we all said, oh no, everyone will hate it. And like, I'd never listened to Jesus Christ Superstar before. And he said, go away and listen to it. So I listened to it, and like, the music is absolutely fantastically written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and the lyrics by Tim Rice are just, you know, like...
Sir Tim Rice.
Sorry, sir.
Yes.
And
in case he's listening.
And and it was just fantastic.
I suppose it should be Lord Webber as well.
Yeah.
We'll start again. So, yeah, I mean, for those who weren't there, and it was a really good show, tell us the basic plot behind Jesus Christ Superstar, because it isn't a very often... It is performed quite a lot, so if people... hear your recommendation and hear what the story's about.
Yeah.
Maybe next time it comes out, they think, oh, I might go and see that now.
Well, the plot is, it focuses on Judas Iscariot and Jesus. Well, of course. But it mostly focuses in on Judas's reasons why he betrayed Jesus. And, like, you know, he says in the lyrics, he had no thought at all about his own reward. He didn't really come here of... his own accord. And mm-hmm. if you're an RE teacher, like it fits in really well with like syllabuses for school as well, which is maybe another reason why Mr. Scott chose it. And if you believe in predestination and things like that, like Judas was predestined to do this sort of thing, yeah. So it wasn't his own fault, and it focuses in on that, and it also focuses in on the last few days of Jesus' life before he was crucified, and where there's the crucifixion on stage, which makes it different from a lot of other musicals. Yeah. And
one of the complaints that one of the complaints that a lot of people had about the original of Jesus Christ Superstar when it was first performed, mm-hmm. apart from the usual comments about infantilization and being flippant, which I don't think it actually is.
Not really, yeah.
One of the problems about it is that it finishes in the wrong place, because it finishes with the death of Jesus,
yeah.
and then it kind of stops.
Yeah.
And what do you think about
yeah,
that?
Like,
surely if it stops there, it's kind of missing the point.
Yeah, exactly, because people came up to me and said, you know, I was waiting for, you know, the resurrection sort of thing, and it's kind of like in the bows, when we did it, there's a song which is called... which is the song's titled John chapter 14. No, I could be completely wrong, but it's the verse when Jesus was taken down off the cross and then taken away to the tomb. And that just a little trivia fact, that actual sound music at the very end of Jesus Christ Superstar was using Schindler's List. Just
right.
for a little trivia fact. And
do you know whereabouts in Schindler's List?
I don't, one of the teachers.
I mean, it's a 3-hour film, so we're not asking you the precise time code when it's
yes,
used.
I think it was about 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, but one of the teachers pointed it out that when they'd watched Schindler's List, it was in there. But in our bows, and we all turned around and we all did the resurrection. We all put our hands up and
there was the
light on Jesus. We actually put the resurrection in, which I never saw the original, so I don't. Yeah,
you'd be in your 40s if you saw the original. Something like that.
Yeah.
This is the fresh sound for the district, live from Alec. This is Lionheart Radio.
Sticking with Jesus Christ for the moment, although obviously you've had a career beyond and before that, how much say did you have in the casting of it? Was Judas a part that you were attracted to, or were you simply saying, okay, you've got it because James wants to go up on the cross?
Now, that's really interesting because people in their heads knew what they were going to have. I wanted to be Pilate, but I love Pilate's, like, his character, I was actually, when I got Judas, I was really quite happy about that.
Right.
And, I think the show is pretty well casted. I mean, James Mathewson comes in and steals the show.
We will be moving on to that in a second.
He comes and steals the show in one song, with his Charleston dance
We'll focus on that in a second, but tell us about how you got into the character of Judas, because, anyone who's playing that kind of historical figure, that kind of biblical archetype, it's rather foolish to talk about saying, oh, you've got that character absolutely right. There's so much argument that goes on about the precise nature and the precise motives of not just Judas, but all the disciples, and even to a certain extent, Jesus.
Yeah.
So did you just go in thinking, I'll just do this as I would do it, or did you use any previous performance as a reference or anything like that?
Well, there was... I had a look on YouTube, basically, when other websites are available. Yeah, and I had a look on then, and there was performances from the German version of the show, and I know it sounds pretty weird, but it was did in English, but it was in Germany, and the person who played Judas was absolutely fantastic, and his acting skills were, like, the way he did it. I tried to base it around that, and I also tried to base it around my English teacher, Mr. Armby.
Is he listening?
And I doubt it. He lives in Wall's End, so I don't think he'll be able to get it.
Well, in that case, you can say what you like.
Well, he bases himself around a few different people. We think he bases himself around Gene Hunt, to give you a bit of a picture.
From Ashes to Ashes.
And I didn't take the very sexist tone of him. Well, actually, I think I did a bit because, some people think that it was so hard because some people in... I watched the performance they did in 2000. They did a recording of Jesus Christ Superstar with the West End cast.
Right.
And that was... The Judas and Jesus mainly focused on Judas, who actually loved Jesus, and not so much the Bible, but Bible critics say Judas actually liked fancied Mary, and he was so bitter towards...
We're getting into Da Vinci Code territory.
It goes into a bit of Da Vinci Code sort of stuff, but so I try to base it around... It was so hard because it's like, you know, you can't just sit on there and kind of just go on and like, hello, I'm Judas sort of thing. Right. I'm going to betray you now. But, you know.
Yes, that's the Brechtian version. I'm going to do this and you will watch it because you are the audience and this is the play.
Yeah.
Although I like Bertolt Brecht. I think Arturo Uy is one of the greatest plays ever written.
Thanks for tuning in to the district's newest radio station, Lionheart Radio.
Okay, we were talking before the last song, start again, and we were talking about Jesus Christ Superstar. We should just tie this up with a comment about our absentee, Mr. James Mathewson. Not that we hold it against him in any way. I'm sure that he's doing something very good and useful. I understand he was busking yesterday in the Alec Marketplace. Were you involved with that?
No, I saw him on his Facebook that he said, oh, I'm going down to town to busking. Come and join us. So I was like, oh, I might, but I never... left the house.
Right. Protest and voting with your feet. Yeah, you were talking a little bit before that track about James coming on and effectively stealing the show with his performance as Herod. He is great, isn't he?
He's in that one song, you've got Jesus who sits there and sings a 7-minute solo singing, talking about why he should die and all this, and Judas having a death and all this, and then he comes on and basically with this upbeat, it's interesting how the show's written, because it goes from that contrast from where you've got this Pilate and Christ, where Pilate's like, who is this unfortunate man blocking up my stairway? Mm-hmm. And then it goes to this completely 1920s Charleston upbeat musical with the backing dancers like, ooh, all this.
Obviously, from what you're saying, that particular style of doing it is written into the script, but did James have any kind of choice over the dance or what exactly he was going to wear? Because to complete it, he would have just needed one of those kind of wax moustaches that curled in the corner of his mouth.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Disco Inferno in a little bit, but he just has this wonderful presence where he can come on into the kind of... Well, I don't want to say the worst thing, because all the shows I've seen with you and him in have been very, very good. He just has this way of coming on, and instantly, you just look at him. Nobody else on stage, no matter how everyone else has been. And in those 4 minutes, I laughed my head off, even though it's one of the bleakest moments of the play.
Yeah.
Because the thing with the character of Herod is that out of all the characters in the story of Holy Week and of Jesus Christ, that's the one you can have the most fun with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Pilate's got to be tormented, and Judas... not to give anything
frustrated.
Away.
Frustrated.
Yes. and obviously Jesus has to be, well, Christ-like.
Yeah.
So, were you a little bit jealous that he got that part? Could you have done it?
No, I couldn't have done what James, like, the choreographer, Mrs. Lindsay, like, she says, she's an ex-teacher at the school and she came back to do the show, and, she was like, right, she went up to him and she's like, James, we're going to do the Charleston, it's going to be very, very, very camp, and you're going to have to do it. and he was like, oh yeah, alright, okay, that's fine. No, he's great, and like, it just shows how good he is, like, to go, like, from Disco Inferno, which was, which was Anna Kufia, which he didn't, he was quite serious there, wasn't he? He was very, straight actor.
You know who he reminds... I mean, since we've just linked to there very nicely, we may as well jump ahead to that. Or back in time, but whatever. The thing that he reminded me of in that performance, and this is the greatest compliment, Scott Walker.
I don't know who that is. But
you heard the song, you know, the sun ain't gonna shine anymore. That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Very kind of... The Walker Brothers were kind of the manufactured... pop duet of the early 60s, but then Scott went off and did loads of experimental stuff and basically became a recluse. And it was that same kind of sense of a guy who is manufactured because his fame does come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down he realises that he doesn't really deserve to be there and doesn't really want to be there, despite the fact that he does get all this success.
Yes, the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Not James himself.
Not James himself, no.
Yeah. No, like...
It was convincing, but it wasn't that convincing.
I mean, the show, that Disco Inferno, it's a completely different show. It's based on...
Faust.
And that's an interesting book in itself. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to put a musical twist to it, you know, kind of like selling your soul to the devil sort of thing. Like, loads of people, like, I think I even saw a Simpsons version of it, you know, when they did their own... their own version where I think it was Homer who sort of sold to the devil sort of thing, and then he had to it was a good version, but it had some really cheesy links. Like at one point it was like, my dad never wanted to be me to be an actor, he always had other plans for me. Then it goes straight into the Navy,
the Lumberjack song.
It was in the Navy, I think, going into, yes.
There is that wonderful moment in it when it's a flashback scene where, what's his name, the lead guy, what's the name of the lead character?
I think it was Jack,
who goes on to become Jumping Jack Flash.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones reference. They go to a flashback of him queuing up outside a cinema with his friends on the day that the Beatles have broken up.
Yeah.
His friend has the conversation in which he makes reference to almost every single one of the Beatles song, and everyone bursts into tears.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Again, with that part, that was you in your kind of scenery chewing mode, because you played his biggest rival.
Yeah.
And I only have one question on that. Where did you get that wig?
Well, it was... I know, 'cause you,
that mullet was about a foot high.
Yeah, I know. Where was it? It was in Newcastle, on Northumberland Street. There's a McDonald's, and beside the McDonald's, if you go upstairs, right upstairs, there's a huge costume shop. Mm-hmm. And we were just like looking there, and I was like, oh yeah, that looks quite nice.
This was a custom-made costume job. It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't a Playhouse rental.
Oh, actually, the suit had to be. There was one where I was wearing one of my pairs of trousers was custom made to fit my body, so it was
tailored.
Yes, it was tailor made
flares.
Yeah, it was.
Have you kept those?
No, I haven't. I wasn't allowed. I was good.
Sold them on eBay.
Yeah, I kept the mullet, and I've kept this. I was, you know, those huge John Lennon sunglasses. Yeah. I kept them as well, which is great. And then that's all I've got to keep.
Yeah. You've already said that Jesus Christ Superstar is the best thing you've done from your point of view.
Yes.
And when I was looking on the line at some of your past productions, you know, doing a kind of sort of mini biography to some extent, I came across a photo of you and James Mathewson in a production of South Pacific. Yeah. Care to explain yourself?
Well, South Pacific is one of those old, very old 1950s.
It's Rodgers and Hammersmith.
Yeah, Rodgers and Hammersmith.
Rodgers and Hammersmith.
Hammerstein. Hammerstein. Very old kind of.
Rodgers and Hammersmith would be good.
Yeah. But it's very cheesy, and it's very kind of like, it's very, very camp sort of thing, you know, like you've got all these sailors, and they're all, there's all like these references to different types of sailors and stuff like this, and it's all these different innuendos inside the place.
I mean, I have to say that my experience with South Pacific is quite limited, in the sense that the only thing I know about it is, do you remember the song "There's Nothing Like a Dame"?
Yeah.
When Morecambe and Wise
did that. Yeah. I loved that.
With the very obvious stunt doubles doing all the flips.
Yeah.
You couldn't get Michael Aspel to do that in a million years.
Yeah. I love that version of it. The whole musical's very just cheesy sort of like it kind of skits American people quite a lot. It kind of puts them and French people as well. Kind of makes them look really bad, like all French people kill men to get onto the.
We should say that for people who've just tuned in accidentally, that is the opinion of someone in a musical. It's not Mike Pearson.
No, it's not myself.
So don't worry about that.
Yes.
So musicals seem to be your thing. I mean, have you done a large quantity of straight acting in the past?
Well, in the musicals that I've done, so most of them have been kind of very straight, and it was quite funny. One time I played a priest, and that was Les Mis, and I think I missed that one off. And I did another show. I can't remember what it was called. I've completely slipped my mind.
Describe it.
It was based in the future, but it was all Shakespearean. It was all the writing was Shakespearean, and it had lots of like 70s songs and like Great Balls of Fire and
it's not sounding familiar. It sounds intriguing.
It was really good, and like the guy who played it, I was a very kind of like Captain Kirk, very straight actor who just sat there kind of like, he's like, yes, I'm Captain Salmon,
is that the voice?
No, I can't remember what voice I did, and it was very, very like straight acting, and like, but I'm hoping to do the next school play, the Mr. Allenby, the drama department's one. They just did fantastic Dracula.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing next, Mr. Allenby.
It's not going to be called Mr. Allenby Presents.
I hope it is.
The remake of Mrs. Henderson Presents. Yes. I'm not sure they'll get away with that, to be honest.
Yes, just Mr. Allenby and like.
No, don't put that image in the listeners' minds, please. So that's what we can expect to see you in next.
Yeah.
Lionheart Radio.
I can imagine you as Scaramouche Fandango.
Yeah, well,
which is cheating as far as characters.
I love that musical, but like the male parts aren't as good as the female parts are. Killer Queen's my favourite. Mm. Like I said to Mr. Scott, can I be Killer Queen and kind of make it a camp queen instead of a female queen.
So all the characters, because I haven't seen We Will Rock.
All right, yeah.
So all the characters in that are titles of songs.
Yes, like some of them are like, I think one of them's called Jack, and then like the rest of them, like there's Scaramouche and there's Killer Queen, and one of them's called Britney Spears, and it's quite, she comes on and sings one song, and then there's like a huge battle and she dies, and it's quite funny because the reference after the song is like, Britney Spears I can't remember what the line is, yeah. But it's quite funny. She spared our life for us to be saved, which is quite funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just one small thing before we play some more music, and we've got a couple of good tracks coming up, including one from Steely Dan. Are you going to be taking part in the Anik Plinth that's happening on the Maybank holiday?
I don't know anything about it.
Well,
intrigue me.
Essentially, this is part of Anik Markets. They're doing a replica. You know the Anthony Gormley plinth that was in London end of last year? Where basically people could sign up.
Oh, yes.
It's essentially a replica of that. And you can sign up in the Northumberland Gazette to do a 10-minute slot or whatever you like. So maybe you could perform a couple of numbers from Jesus Christ for those who didn't get the chance to see it.
That would be a good idea. I didn't know about that was going on, actually.
Yeah, well, this week's Gazette, which you've got in front of you, and I'm sorry we don't have a webcam so you can see Mr. Pearson in all his visual glory as well as his wonderful voice. So the deadline for signing up for that, I think, is the 23rd. So you haven't got long, but by all means, go for it.
Yeah, I think I might, actually. When is it? The
1st of May, which is...
The 1st of May.
Right. Yeah, the May Bank holiday, the Saturday. Well, Mike Pearson, thank you very much for joining us. Can you stick around for the rest of the show?
Yeah, can I?
Just in a kind of casual... I mean, we haven't got anything specific more to talk about, but if you want to contribute to anything...
Yeah, well, I said to my mum to come pick us up at 3 o'clock, so...
Well, that's fine. That's fine, then. Mike Pearson from Duchess High School, star of Jesus Christ Superstar and of Disco Inferno, thank you very much for coming in.
Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.